I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester, glad to be here with you. Max Power producing for us as we get you ready for a shortened week. We had the holiday there yesterday. Hope everybody was able to enjoy some family time, some time away from work as we continue to soak up the rain here. Much needed rain, I know. Look, everybody wanted to be outside and doing all their thing yesterday. We did too, but we need this rain, so we're happy to have it. Glad to have you with us over the air here, 97.5 FM, 1240 AM. You can call us that way at 869-1240. Thanks also for watching us on our video streams, which you'll find on 12 News Connected, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can leave us messages there that we can put right up here over the screen if you're watching one of those video streams. And you can listen to us, of course, anytime on the Odyssey app. You can podcast us out, whatever you want to do. If you're listening to us that way and you want to chime in, you can leave us voice messages with the little microphone app on there. A lot to get to today. We got to make up some ground here on the long weekend. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good Memorial Day weekend. I know, obviously, the weather was not ideal for most folks and their outdoor plans. I did have this thought, though, that really for a holiday, it's not really a premier sports weekend. I know the Indianapolis 500 happened this weekend, but, you know, in a weekend where, like, yesterday the weather was not good for most of the day, I found myself thinking it'd be nice if there was, like, you know, some sort of premier sports event that happened. And I know we've got NBA finals and all of that, but somebody should probably take hold of the Memorial Day holiday and turn it into like a big sports weekend for situations like what we had this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else you'd do with it. It would be there, but it's not like,
I mean, it's the one main weekend where there's really, other than the Indy 500 and you're in the middle of the NBA playoffs, it's not like there's, you know, a whole lot else going on.
Yeah, I guess for the guaranteed holiday weekends, I was going to say July 4th is not a big sports, but that doesn't always happen on a weekend anyway. I'd have to look. You're right on that. I don't know.
I mean, flipping the channels yesterday as the rain's coming down. I'm like, man, it'd be great if we had something going on. But you know,
Yeah, because if you turn the Royals on, that one got away quickly. It was one of those situations where they got down early and they stood no chance. Right? You just feel like the game's over. That happened on Sunday when they got down 1-0. It was like, well, they're not going to come. I mean, it's a problem here with the Royals. We're going to have Jalen Thompson in. He was traveling Friday, so we missed his regular visit. So we're going to get him in early and late this week. The Royals certainly on the brain. So he'll be in later this hour. We'll also have our Chiefs insider, Felix Johnson, is going to be by in the second hour to talk anything we're missing really in the NFL? What's out there? Should we start to now evaluate the Chiefs? We'll do some of that. I know he's doing that in some of his writing work. So we'll have all that for you today. It'll be a good day on the show. We'll give away some HTO today as well. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for getting us revved up here on a now Tuesday morning to start the week. It is a little, you know, the rain outside. We're going on about 4 days, no sunshine here. Like that, you know, it makes you a little sleepy. I get it. I hear you. So appreciate you, Prairie Fire, for keeping us fueled up. There was news this weekend for K-State. P.J. Haggerty is Wildcat. I got to tell you, look, I didn't see that one coming, Tommy. I missed the headline, but I didn't know they were still in the market for a player of his stature, because we know he was wanting to be highly compensated through the NIL space. And I assume he was, but Haggerty is now a Cat. So we'll dig into that a little bit. I thought that was interesting. And I wonder what KU fans think about all these moves K-State's making right now.
The first thing I thought about was the NIL bank for Kansas State must be fairly full.
Back to where it was.
Because I can only imagine the amount of money that PJ Haggerty was garnering on the open market. And then, of course, they've already signed the overseas kid that I know they wrote a pretty decent NIL check to get him as well. So now you've got two players that are probably around the Coleman Hawkins range. And, you know, they paid Coleman Hawkins quite a bit of money. And now you've got two guys that are probably getting that kind of money, maybe more. And so it makes me think that the funding is clearly there for Kansas State to try to rebuild their team.
Yeah, it is. It stayed there because it was there last year. They didn't get the right guys, but the funding was certainly there. We have the NBA Finals. Oklahoma City takes a commanding lead there. We might get into that a little bit today. Kind of a boring ending to a game. And I tell you, I watched that game last night. It was just like foul, 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 right? No attempts. I was like, man, you know what this league could use? The Elam ending. I've been such an advocate. I believe it to the deepest parts of my soul. Like, you've got that high profile game last night. And it's just everybody's trying to foul as hard as they can to get to the line to avoid a throw. I'm like, this is not the way this should be done. Like,
never going to happen. I don't disagree with you, but it'll never happen.
No, you're right. It'll never happen, but it should. But it should. Think about that game last night, and they're racing to a number. Be incredible. And you wouldn't have that situation. The Big 12 is maybe a little spicy about the talkings and the rumblings, Big 12 and the ACC, about how a new playoff format could look at 16 teams. We're having things leaked out of those meetings, so we can dig into that as well. That should be pretty interesting. And we'll tell you what's going on there with the Big 10 and the SEC kind of flexing, as we all knew they would. But is it realistic for the Big 12 and the ACC to push back on that? We'll dig in. We'll tell you what we're talking about. It has to do with college football playoff. That's also going on there. But, you know, look, we're going to spend some time with the Royals today, Tommy, and they're struggling right now. Losers of four of their last five series. They've lost four of their last five series here, and the schedule does not get easier. It gets more difficult as you go into June. You've got all kinds of things happening right now with that franchise. You've got Jack Caglione, who's hit, and I didn't see what he did yesterday, but he had hit five home runs in four games going into yesterday. They sent down Kevin Biggio. They brought up another utility guy. There's a lot going into Cags' decision. We'll get Jalen Thompson's take on that. He was right, by the way. I texted him immediately. I was like, did they send down Biggio to call up Cags? He said, no, probably not yet. They're going to call up, you know, a different player, and Cag's probably been a little bit. So he's been on that, but we'll get the take. Is that at some point, Tommy, the team's not going to be able to justify this anymore. Like, this is all very likely service time driven and all of these things, but it's like, you need some help up at the big league level. And this dude could not be any more on fire down there.
Yeah. I mean, he's hit really, really well in a few games in AAA. I think one thing that I didn't realize was that they were playing, I think it was Salt Lake City, And they've got the worst pitching staff in AAA baseball. Salt Lake City does. I've seen some people say Caglione was probably facing actually better pitching in AA leading up to this point than a small sample size in AAA against Salt Lake City. So he's got, his first few home games in Omaha coming up this week. And, we'll see how things go with him. But he certainly is on a heater right now.
That's one of the reasons I kind of like staying down in AA. It's not like there are places like that. There are leagues like that where the offense is more prone to go. Now, I don't know enough about it to say, oh, they should leave him down in AA. But I thought he'd be a skip AAA guy. But when the AAA team is literally down the street from you, I suppose that makes a little more sense. We'll get into all that with Jalen Thompson. Let's touch on this Big 12 story when we come back, and then we'll get Jalen Thompson's take on the Royals. So, college football playoffs coming. Could it be heavily weighted to the two big leagues? We'll talk about that and what can be done when we return on Sports Day.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you on a Tuesday, getting you ready for your week. We'll see if I can make it through this entire show without calling it a Monday. It does feel like a Monday, but of course we had a holiday week in there. If you want to win some HTO, let's do that right now. You can win a free iced tea, more than 26 flavors to choose from, East or West Wichita or in Derby. You can do that right now by giving us a text. You can text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to 20357. That's tea, 20357. You can enter once per day, message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We come back in. Let's talk a little college football. I don't know if you saw this headline over the weekend, but what's happening right now is they're about to change the format of the college football playoff. We won't stick with the current format, which we saw for the first time last year, for very much longer. It sure seems likely that we are headed to a 16-team playoff, which was the most predictable thing of all time when we saw that was coming. Been saying it for years and years and years. you know, when we talked about getting away from four, was that this thing is probably ultimately going to 16. They started with 12. 12, I think, was fine last year. I had no problem with 12. But eventually you're going to get to 16. And I don't necessarily think they're just going to keep expanding forever. But at some point, why would you want less playoffs, right? Like, why would you want less of that? So this is likely where it's headed. Now, how you get there is what seems to be, according to reports, a hotly debated thing amongst college power players. And that is that the Big Ten and the SEC are reportedly secretly meeting on their own about a 4-4-2-2-1 format, which would mean that the Big Ten and the SEC get four automatic qualifiers each. The ACC and Big 12 would get two. You get then your, you know, group of six highest ranked team like you had with Boise State last year, and then you'd get three other at-large teams. The other format that I think that according to CBS Sports, the ACC and Big 12 prefer is the same five AQs you saw last year and then 11 at-large teams. And you take just the next 11 teams. You understand why the Big 12 and the ACC want that. History, I think, is honestly on the side of the Big 10 and the SEC here. The Big 10 and the SEC apparently want to get this to where they can do like a what they do is a play-in. So, and this is all in a CBS Sports article this morning, but you'd have, essentially, they'd have their conference championship game, Tommy. They'd send those two teams in, and then they would play two other, which is interesting to see this, because this is what I told you they should do in the Big 12 last week. I didn't know this was actually being considered. So then they'll take two other play-in games. They'll take the next four teams, and the two winners of those two playoff teams would become the two next automatic qualifiers. I think that's a fantastic idea, by the way. I think it adds to the regular season. I think you can get rid of some fluff at the beginning or play fewer, you know, regular season, whatever you got to do. But I love the idea of play-in type formats. I think we'd have a large appetite for that as viewers, even if we weren't fans of that conference. I'm far more likely to watch that game if I know it's to get in. So that's what's being thrown out there. We're going to get to a point where they vote on this at some point, I think, or they decide this here very soon, very soon. I don't know that I got to have more time with this and really think about it, but I'm not sure I even hate Tommy 4-4-2-2-1. Last year, that was, you know, it wasn't dominating. The SEC would have lost teams almost, unless you call them automatic qualifiers, because what you had was like the Big 12 would have been a winner in that scenario, Tommy. They only had one team in the top 16. They would have only had one team anyway. If you had two automatic qualifiers, well, now you're looking at, you'd have been in a better situation. And I'll bet you if we went back in time, there would be years this would help the ACC and the Big 12. Now, not every year. Maybe there's a year they have three in there. But how often does the Big 12 have three teams in the top 16 of a CFP ranking? It doesn't seem like it'd be very often. I don't know that this is that big a deal.
I mean, I think the biggest thing about it is that it is the SEC and the Big Ten absolutely throwing their weight around. I mean, this is a this is a power play for sure from both of those conferences. And, you know, I think that especially the SEC, they recognize that they hold the cards and that, you know, they've got the power to be able to sort of dictate the way that they want the future of this college football playoff to look. And the alternative, if their if their demands aren't met along with the Big Ten, if their demands aren't met, they could easily threaten to walk away. And I think that the college football playoff absolutely, without a doubt, needs them more than they need the college football playoff. And so, you know, you could easily, and this is not the right thing to do, so I'm not advocating for this, but the SEC and the Big Ten could absolutely say, look, if our demands aren't met and if we don't get exactly the way, you know, this to be laid out the way that we want it to, we'll just go do our own championship.
Yeah.
And you know what? People would watch it. People would watch it, and it would ultimately dilute any kind of other championship, and it, you know, would make it, there would be this you know, divide and all the friction and tension and all of that, that would absolutely live. And then there would be this, you know, whole debate about who's the real national champion. If you've got the college football playoff and then you've got whatever the SEC and the Big Ten do, that's not what anybody wants. I don't think the SEC wants that necessarily. But they're in a position to be able to throw their weight around a little bit and say, if we don't get this format exactly the way that we want it, and we're the two conferences that hold all the power, and we've got the schools that are going to be, you know, largely represented in this year in and year out, then we'll just walk away and we'll take our ball and go home and we'll do our own thing. And so that's what I think the CFP and the ACC and the Big 12 have to recognize, and they have to understand that, yeah, they may not want this to be the format long term, and I totally get it and I understand why. But you, unfortunately, you may have to just grin and bear it and understand that this is the way, you know, to keep college football intact long term, is to have the format the way the SEC and the Big Ten would like it to be.
Yeah, I think there was a threat of that at one time. I don't think they even want that now. I think that they're.
I don't think they want it, but I certainly think they'll use it as a bargaining chip if they have to.
Yeah. But I don't even think they have to. Like they all know. I think now more than ever, like they all need each other to drive up the overall interest, because they're all trying to make as much money as they can. Right. At the end of the day, with a revenue share and all the money that's been paid, like all of, and this is why they want to do this, right? So they can create these other high revenue games.
You may be right, but did you hear, you may be right, but did you hear Greg Sankey talk over the weekend? I mean, some of the words that he was using and he was very much like kind of defiant and like, I'm not going to let anybody lecture me and lecture our conference on what's good for our conference and what is not good for our conference, and you know, and taking shots at these other conferences. Like it's not, I don't think it's all like warm and fuzzy right now. And I'm not sure that it will be moving forward. And I think that, again, Greg Sankey has become kind of the face of this with the SEC. And I think he's embracing kind of being the top dog in all of this and being like, look, like you guys can complain, you guys can, you know, be upset about all of this, but at the end of the day, we're going to do what's best for the two top conferences in the country, and that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, his quote is, we didn't need 12. If we stayed at 4, we would have had half of the 4 last year. I don't need lectures from the others about the good of the game. I don't lecture others about the good of the game and coordinate press releases about the good of the game.
Yeah, it's not warm and fuzzy.
No, it's not, and they're going to try to play their hand here, but I think we're far beyond them overplaying their hand so much that they break off. I don't know how this ultimately gets negotiated or bargained out, but if everybody needs more money, and they do right now, they know that the path to more money is the path that they're on now, not some alternative path where they don't have enough viewers to justify the TV deals they're trying to get signed. So yeah, it's going to be rocky to get there.
I mean, do you think
they clearly don't agree on this?
Do you think that, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that the SEC and the Big Ten, let's say they break off. I don't think it's going to happen, but let's say they break off and they're like, you know what? We're not even going to do this anymore. We're just going to take our ball and go home and do our own thing. I absolutely think that even if they did that, the TV viewership would support them doing it. Like, I think that's not a concern. I don't think that's a concern for the SEC and the Big Ten. I absolutely think, because they have the premier schools in the country, that they would be able to drive revenue through viewership on their own thing that they do. Now, it's not going to be as much as the collective whole if you've got the CFP with everybody, but I do think, I mean, I absolutely believe that networks like ESPN and Fox would follow the SEC and the Big Ten to televise whatever separate kind of tournament or championship game that they want to do. The networks would follow that and the revenue would be there. And the SEC and the Big Ten know that. Is it the right thing to do overall? Absolutely not. But they can throw that weight around that the networks, I think, would absolutely follow them.
Well, yeah, they're going to have the network, but not for as valuable as a product. Over time, that product would get devalued. And this is just my opinion, and I've said this for forever. I think the greatest danger of the sport is to regionalize it further, because I'm telling you right now, we would not care about what's happening in the SEC in this part of the country if they weren't playing for the same thing we were. We wouldn't. We would be watching the teams we care about play for something else. And so you'd be fracturing the total audience even more than it is, and you would lose interest in the sport as a collective whole. I believe that 100%. Now, in the first couple of years, would it be like a mad dash to get those? Sure, it would. And then over time, as people see, like, man, the sport's never been less popular. Fewer people are watching these championship games. Fewer people are watching these regular season games. Your product gets devalued. Right now, we might have interest in watching a Saturday afternoon, more interest than just like we're diehard football fans, we'll watch anything. I get that part of it. But for the general public, there are, if K-State's in the mix of an essential wild card spot, there are more likely to be K-State fans or people in this region watching what's happening over there because it impacts their team. If that's not the case, again, my opinion, I think it would be devastating to the sport. And I think that they know that. And I don't think anybody has to get to that point. They've got that power here, and they should have the power. Again, just look at last year. Two automatic qualifiers for the Big 12, in my opinion, is not a bad deal. Like, I don't now, if you have further expansion here and whatever happens with the ACC, they may have to reevaluate this thing, in which they'd have to anyway. But you're guaranteeing me right now that two Big 12 teams get in every year? I don't think that's a bad deal for the Big 12. Go back and I just did. I just did during the break and while we're talking. If you go back historically in the CFP and look at where the Big 12 would have ended up in this, and you also consider that they don't have Texas or Oklahoma anymore, there are a lot of years one would be the max, if that. Like, it's just not, like, you got to be careful here not to poke that bear. To me, like, you have to, and I get it. And I'm not saying Brett Yormark should come out and be like, oh, we should do whatever they say. No, he shouldn't do that. He should bargain for his league and do whatever he thinks is best for his league, for sure. I don't think it's going to get to some massive point of contention. I think everybody's just, you know, fluffing their feathers up and strutting around a little bit here. But two automatic qualifiers for the Big 12 is not a bad deal. History tells us that it's not. There are a lot of years they wouldn't have two out of the top 16. So I don't think this is going to get that contentious.
I mean, going
if
back to your
SEC and the Big Ten want to say four only, I was afraid they would do like six.
Yeah, going back to your argument about how if there isn't that representation, that the general public in this part of the country isn't going to care about it. I don't know. I mean, I know I'm a college football junkie, but at the same time, the only Big 12 team that was even represented in the bracket last year was Arizona State in their first year in the conference. They were bounced after one game, and I still watched basically every game.
Sure, you did.
But
would you have if it was up against a Big 12 and ACC tournament and Kansas was playing in it? Would you watch Georgia, Tennessee over Kansas, SMU?
I don't know. I mean, I if they're directly opposite of each other at the same exact time. Because I think that there's probably room to watch both if and when that happens. I don't know. I don't think it's going to get to that point. So I think it's a moot point, and I do agree with you. I think that there's just kind of jockeying for position.
I think there was a threat of that about 3 or 4 years
ago. I think that what we're seeing is a measuring contest of sorts going on now. And I think that,
and we should be.
And I think that Greg Sankey is showing that he's going to win that measuring contest, you know, as it's happening for sure. But I think at the end of the day, Brett Yormark has done a phenomenal job with the Big 12, right? Like he has kept the Big 12 in the mix. He's kept the Big 12 relevant more so than it probably would have been without him. But at the same time, I think he's got to recognize, all right, you can lobby for your conference, and that's what your job is, and you try to do what's best for the conference. But also recognize that you're not the big dog in the room, unfortunately.
That's right.
And so you can try to get what you can get, but at the same time, you can't, I think the word you used, and I agree with you, you can't poke the bear too much, because ultimately that will end up hurting things, you know, overall.
Yeah, and you do, and Sankey's right about this. Like, you have to be realistic.
I hate that he's right. I don't want to give him that kind of credit.
I don't want to give the SEC that kind of credit. The Big 12 will benefit from two AQs. There's still three at-large spots, right? Like, you know, in that format, there are still, they still guarantee us the group of five or group power six, whatever they want to call it, which is a necessity. Your conference champions are still getting in, which is a necessity. You get another team in. Again, last year, the Big 12 still would have only had one of 16. Now you're getting two guaranteed every year. And there are three automatic qualifiers. So if you have that year, which historically is very unlikely for the Big 12, if you had that year, you could still get more, but you get two guaranteed. I think that's a good
deal. And, you know, look, if I'm Brett Yormark and if I'm the ACC commissioner, if ultimately this is the direction that they go, I think that you settle for that and you say, okay, like we will agree to this.
I'm sure
in their minds, they're like, we want to get the exact same number of automatic qualifiers as the other two conferences. Never going to happen. But what I would do, what I would negotiate and what I would try to bargain for if I'm the Big 12 and the ACC is we will agree to this. We will sign to it, but we're not changing it. Like we need to lock this in for the next however many years, the next 10 years or whatever that is, because I could see the concern being it starts at four apiece for the SEC and the Big Ten, and then a year later, 2 years later, okay, we're going to need six apiece, then we're going to need eight apiece, and then ultimately everybody else gets pushed out of the door. And so I think you fight for that.
You do. And you fight to say, I want three, or I want two, and a guaranteed AQ comes from the Big 12 or ACC. One of the two, you know, they can massage that out, but the bottom line is the Big Ten and the SEC are probably getting four. So what else can you do? If you're that, you still try. It's a negotiation. And yeah, they get to do it public facing.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
We are joined by our Royals insider, Jalen Thompson, beat reporter for the KC Star. You can find his work at, of course, the KC Star and at Jalen Thompson on X. All right, Jalen. Royals have lost four out of the last five series and started the Red Series off with a loss, in danger of losing now five of the last six series. I love to ask you, like, is it going to be a tight race in the American League? How concerned should we be here as the Royals continue to struggle as much as they have offensively?
I don't think that there should be a major concern, because you're seeing that the Royals are going to do whatever they can to get some offense and infuse some energy into that.
Not everything they can.
Yeah, yeah. With anything they can, except
call up their top prospect who
he's coming. He's coming. You got to give.
Well, I know he's coming, but that, like, I don't think it's. I get why they're waiting. I understand that they're waiting. They're making sure that they get his service time. But we can't say they're doing everything they can. If they were doing everything they can, they would call up Caglione.
Well, here's the thing. Let's play a hypothetical. So let's say they bring up Jack Caglione. Let's say he's up today. Let's say they bring him up. And you put him in that lineup. Do you really want to count him to be the savior right now? Do you really want to put pressure on him to be the savior, the guy that, has to come in and hit the home runs and lead the team in RBIs? And that's a lot to put on a young kid.
But why wouldn't you want him to come up and help? It's what he does. I'm not saying he has to go hit four hole, like put him in the lineup somewhere. See if he can, if he acclimates the way he's acclimated this year to the other levels, then he's going to help you.
No, I am with you. I think that he can help right now, but you have to think about it too, from the perspective of last year, Jackson Holliday was the same way with the Orioles. He came up and he wasn't hitting as well. They had to send him back down. The Royals don't want to do that. They want to bring up Jack Caglione, and he's ready to go from day one. So, I mean, I get it. I know five home runs in his first week in AAA, it's incredible. But he's going to come. You just got to be patient.
I do think that in this argument, I understand the reasons for having Caglione, and I think that he could absolutely go and help. But he's not the savior where he's going to just absolutely transform the entire offensive output for this team. There are multiple issues up and down this lineup, and it continues. I mean, not only did they DFA Hunter Renfrow, and at least they've moved that problem out the door, which is good, but Michael Massey's not hitting. Jonathan India's not hitting. You know, there are several people up and down this lineup where, you know, yeah, Caglione can be a positive in the lineup, Jalen, but it's not like he's single-handedly going to transform this offense.
Yes, I think that's exactly where the Royals are coming from on that whole idea. They know that if you bring Jack Caglione up, he's going to hit the home runs. They know that. They know that he is going to be able to, you know, hit those two boxes of home runs, RBIs. But what about the other things? What about playing the outfield? Where's he going to play? You're going to play him in right field full time? How does that impact guys you just brought up in John Rave and Nick Lofton? Where are they going to be at? What's going to happen with Jonathan India? Where is he? Is he going to be a full-time DH if you bring up Jack Caglione now? And then how does that impact Salvi and Vinny when they need a day off? So it's a lot that goes into just the entire lineup when you bring up a guy like Jack Caglione. And I think that for right now, I think the Royals just need to focus on being able to score more runs consistently and win games. We got to remember, they still are 3 games over .500 right now, which is really impressive considering that they don't have their two starters, their ace starters, Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo, and then they don't have an offense that is scoring right now. So, I mean, that's a got to give them a lot of credit for where they are with their awards that they have right now.
They're fine, right? They're 3 games over .500. Don't misunderstand, but I got to tell you, no offense to Rave and Nick Lofton, man, I don't care. Look, and it would be one thing, like, if it wasn't so obvious what the team needs. The problem for me is the thing that he does and probably will do okay at the big league level is the thing they're desperate for. Last in the league in home runs, bottom five in slugging percentage. Right. Like the things that he does are the things that they need. They don't need somebody to come up and hit singles. They have lots of that. Right. They have lots of guys that can get on. They don't have anybody to drive in runs. You have a 22-year-old. He's not 19 years old. You have a 22-year-old. What's showing to be professional hitter with prodigious power, the thing that you lack so desperately. I am totally fine with the Royals keeping him down to make sure they don't lose a year of service time. If he were to win Rookie of the Year, all the little things that still are kind of floating out there, I'm fine with that for a small market team, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend like they're worried about that. They're not worried about that anymore. He's fine in the minor. Dudes that are far less polished than him get called up all the time. Like, he'll be fine. I just think it's more about making sure they take care of him long-term organizationally. Again, I'm totally okay with that, and I don't even disagree with that. But I can't pretend like he doesn't help this team immediately and he doesn't fill a need, because he does. And I don't care if it costs Nick Lofton some games or whoever. Like, they've got it. They're in a wild card race right now.
No, I agree with you. I see your point, and I think that that's very valid. I also think, too, that if, let's say, this week comes up, he hits another 5 home runs. If he's sitting at 10 home runs at the end of this week alone, then I think, like, everything that the Royals have said, you got to knock down the door. You got to kick down the door. You got to prove that you can beat the level, and then they'll bring you up, right? That's their whole mantra, and that's how they decide who comes up, right? If he does that, I think you have to do it. You have to, because you can't have a guy that has 10 home runs in 10 games just sitting down in AAA. But I really think that what they want to do is see him have a handful of bats at AAA and really show that he's ready. And I think he is ready. I think if you ask me my personal opinion, I think you bring him up right now. I'm with everyone else. But I understand how the Royals operate. And sure, I know that They want to take it step by step. But at some point, like you said, Jacob, the talent is too hard to ignore, and you're going to have to make that decision.
And Tommy, I would say this too, because I think we would all agree. If in, well, I don't know how much, what's service time? 5, 6 years? 6 years from now?
Yeah.
if you polled a million fans, a million would tell you they'd rather have the extra year than have had him in 2025 called up 2 weeks early. I'm not saying I don't understand it or it's not the right decision. We all should acknowledge that he would absolutely help the team right now.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, is that the guy that presumably is blocking Jack Caglione at first base, Vinny Pasquantino, has hit the ball really well lately. He has turned things around, Jalen, you know, to the point to where he leads the team in home runs. He leads the team in RBIs. He's got his average up to almost 260 and an OPS over 700, which it wasn't that long ago when Vinny wasn't hitting. And there were a lot of concerns about, man, is something going on here to where they need to make a change potentially at first base. And all of a sudden, Vinny Pasquantino has become the hottest bat in the lineup.
Yes, you're right, Tommy. I think that Vinny is on a heater right now. He's been really doing well in May, and it's really great to, if you're a Royals fan, to see that out of him. Salvi is getting his swing back. He hit the home run last night. I think the key, though, will be you need those guys to produce with runners in scoring position. That's where they need to be at their best form. And there's still times where the Royals get a runner on base and they can't get them in. They cannot get them in. I mean, look at Sunday's game where you're in Minnesota. You're scratching and clawing, trying to get a run in. You get it from Freddie Fermin and Michael Garcia, but that game shouldn't have went to extra innings. You had Chris Bubich pitch the game of his life and pretty much, and you still almost lost that game. You should have won the first two games in Minnesota. You had Noah Cameron have a great game. You had another great game from Michael Wacha. So it's just like, what can you do as an offense? Can they score five runs a game? Can they do that? Then maybe the team will have more wins because your pitching staff is not giving up much.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's not a problem that's like they'll hit their way out of it. I don't think, I'm not saying it's not. They'll be. I still think they're going to be in a good position to make a wild card because they're such a good pitching team. But I don't know what else they can do other than let Vinny and Salvi hit. If they call up Cags, Salvi's just going to have to catch. And I'm at this point like whatever. I'm fine with it. But they got to score more runs. They scored four yesterday. But here's the other problem. It's almost like there's a psychology thing, Jalen. They got down 1-0, and I was joking with Tommy over the weekend. Like, that's insurmountable for this team. Like, you can't, like, the problem is psychologically yesterday, they get down 4-0 early, and you literally feel like they have absolutely no chance to win this game. It was the first inning because they just don't score runs consistently. How do you even break through that? That to me is the more pressing challenge. Like, how do you break through this? It has to be the weight of the world on them when they get in that situation when they're down.
Yeah, like yesterday's game, you get down early and you're like, they're not coming back. That's kind of how you felt. I mean, they're not coming. One swing from Salvador Perez, you got two runs on the board. The Reds gave you another run with the ball. And then you score one more. So really, you only manufactured three runs of your own against the Reds yesterday in that loss. But I always think back to the game against the Giants on last Wednesday, where they came out and they scored early and often. So they can do it. It's just they're polarizing. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. And you can't be that way if you want to win a division. You have to be consistent. And I think that's the one thing that is – they know it. The Royals front office knows it. That's why they're trying John Rabe. That's why they're trying Nick Lofton. That's why – you probably are going to see Jack Caglione be up here by, if he keeps hitting like he's hitting, probably by the end of next month. And that's why they're probably going to go out and get another bat in trade deadline or whatever they're going to do. They're going to fix this thing because that's what they've done the last 2 years. They needed starting pitching in 2023. They got Cole Reagans. They needed bullpen in 2024. You get Hunter Harvey and Lucas Ursaeg. They are going to fix it. The key is how long do you wait to fix it?
Well, tonight you've got the return of Brady Singer on the bump, of course, this time for the Reds, and Daniel Lynch throwing for the Royals. And, you know, the last time that Lynch started, it was a bullpen game. So we'll see how things, you know, pan out. It's going to be an interesting series, Jalen.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun to see Brady Singer tonight be on the bump against his old team. He joked, it's different trying to scout against Bobby Witt Jr. than, you know, be his teammate and play alongside him. I think that the key for the Royals is going to be, you know what Brady's going to want to do. Can you execute against him? That's the key.
All right, Jalen, we're right up against it. We appreciate it. We're going to talk again Friday and get the latest. Jalen Thompson, KC Star, we're coming back another hour of Sports Daily next.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.